Grace, peace, and mercy be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. A few weeks ago in our adult Bible study, we spent some time looking at the Beatitudes from the Sermon on the Mount. And as we began, we noted that in this sermon, Jesus is proclaiming the good news, what we call the gospel. The good news coming from a mountaintop in the same way that the law also came from the top of a mountain, as Moses receives the law for the people on Mount Sinai. Fitting that this morning we have that same situation again. Moses, Jesus, and mountains. But this time, very different circumstances. So as we have heard, Moses, the writer of Exodus, and Matthew's gospel have set our scenes on the mountains this morning. The first is Mount Sinai, and the other, what we call the Mount of Transfiguration. Both very different from each other. Sinai is very tall, rocky, probably not a lot of growth on it. And the mount, probably north of Jerusalem, most likely is not all that high and certainly has much more vegetation across it. The two mountains could not be more different. And yet they have something very deadly in common about them. Both mountains, in general, are dangerous because of God's presence, but specifically, the deadly danger is God's holiness. The presence of God's holiness causes every single sinful human being to be instantly aware of their complete corruption and sinfulness. This overwhelming reaction of their own sin is why people in Scripture instantly think of death in God's presence. Isaiah, in the throne room of God, says, "Woe to me, for I am a dead man." Matthew tells us how Peter, James, and John fell down on their faces in the presence of the transfigured Jesus and the voice from the cloud because they were terrified. These men knew the Scriptures. They had read all about God's presence at Sinai and how when the people had first arrived, they were told that if anyone even touches the mountain of God, they would die. So climbing up was absolutely out of the question. But as we read on, we see Peter, James, and John do not die. Neither do the men in Exodus. Instead, what we see is a wonderful act of grace by our Lord. In his mercy, the men in both readings find life in the presence of God rather than death. However, the issue remains: the holiness of God on his mountain and our sinfulness. The holiness of God is so powerful that to be in it causes an instant reaction. Like Isaiah said, "I am a man of unclean lips." You see, his reaction is a confession of his sinfulness. When we come into the presence of God, our reaction is the same because it comes from the exact same place as Isaiah's. The law placed in the hands of Moses, given to the people. You see, that law was meant to govern them, to guide them, to show them what life looked like as God's people. But most of all, it points them and us to the unholiness of the human condition. God said, "You cannot see my face, for no one may see my face and live." Is it any wonder then that Matthew writes, "When the disciples heard this, they fell face down on the ground, terrified"? Therefore, on the mountain of God, in the presence of God, we stand in fear. Have you ever expected something to happen to you, and then it doesn't come? It is rather common in Minnesota in the wintertime to lose control of your car while you're driving on ice and snow-covered roads, suddenly spinning around end-to-end in the lane, that helpless feeling that you know that it's only a matter of time before you crash into a guardrail or perhaps you run off the road into the ditch. Time actually slows to a crawl so you can conjure up all of the worst possible outcomes of this action. And then suddenly you stop. You're ready for the pain and the damage to your car, but nothing happens. In fact, what happens is the exact opposite of what you thought was going to happen. You thought you would crash, but in reality, you're still in the lane. And you drive away like nothing happened at all. Now imagine the leaders of Israel climbing up the side of Mount Sinai, working their way to certain death in the presence of God, only to find the unexpected. It's not death, but rather life, as they look upon God himself. Was God in all his glory? Probably not. And it's most likely Yahweh that they see sitting on that throne. However, it is God reveals himself in a way that is understood by the leaders. And in his presence, they eat and they drink. Not because of who they were or what they had done, but because of the salvation of the Lord is tied to revealing himself to his people. If you remember the Old Testament sacrifices, when people brought a sin offering to the altar, they would sacrifice it at that altar, and then they would move past the altar closer to the place where the presence of God rested. That's because the closer to God you move, the holier you become. The leaders of Israel found themselves to be holy before the Lord on his mountain because of the blood shed and sprinkled on them and all the people. Moses took the blood, sprinkled it on the people, and said, "This is the blood of the covenant that the Lord has made with you in accordance with these words." The men were made holy by God's grace and the cleansing power of the shed blood. They were forgiven by the sacrifice, as were all the people, and then they were able to eat and drink in the presence of God as his holy saints. The presence of God here is the key. See, God did not forgive them and then stay away. He did not make them holy and then keep them at a distance. But rather, his deep, personal, loving relationship with his creation is seen by forgiving their sin, thus making them holy, and drawing them close to his presence. So close, in fact, that they see God face to face. I'm sure that you've heard people in your lives that you invite to service say something like, "You don't want me in your church. The roof will probably fall down if I walk in," or "God will strike me dead for what I've done." Sad, really, because that's exactly who the church is for. For it is here, in this place, like today, for all to share in the cleansing blood of Jesus. See, on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus reveals himself to Peter, James, and John as true God, and the men don't die. For Jesus was on his way to the cross to be the Lamb who was slain, in order that his body and blood would cover the sins of Peter, James, and John, would cover our sins and make us all holy. Today, we as a church here this morning, brothers and sisters, as God's people, share in the cleansing blood and the broken body of Jesus in the very presence of God. Our Lord is real, and he is here with us just as much as he was with the leaders of Israel. And because of the forgiveness granted by God's grace, we are able to eat and to drink in the very presence of God as his holy people. Today in our gospel reading, Matthew writes, "This is my son who I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." So then let's listen to what our Lord has to say. "Take and eat. This is my body. Take and drink, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." So listen to our Lord. Come into his presence and find his love and mercy waiting here for you. Amen. You stand.